Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. We're covering Sean and Marty, which means I am excited for this one. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Doing good, man. Big wrestling week. We got Double or Nothing this weekend. We got, you know, just a lot of things happening. And then we got Hell in a Cell, like just a lot of wrestling happening in real life. We got just a big match. I know we've talked about a lot over the years at this point, and just somehow managed to never cover it. And so this is, we do fan favorites, but this is host favorites this week. So this is what we get.
All right. Well, I'm pumped to cover this one. You know how I feel about the Heartbreak Kid. You also know how I feel about Marty Jannetty. So I'm excited. I am excited to cover this one. Let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, man. One of the most famous Raws of all time. What a stack show.
Yeah.
What a wild night it was. Remember, these were hour long episodes. This is early in the Manhattan Center Raw days, May 17th, 1993, inside the Manhattan Center, dead in the middle of New York City. And on this 1 hour show, we had both the upset of the Kid defeating Razor Ramon, and we had Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels wrestling for the Intercontinental Champion. Elsewhere on the show, Tatanka would defeat Scott Taylor, Scotty Too Hotty. Yokozuna would defeat Kamala, and the Smoking Guns would defeat a jobber team. So a dark match to start off the show was Bret Hart defeating Bam Bam Bigelow.
This was a dark match.
Yeah, right. So this was a fun show, man. This was a lot of fun. There is obviously a great deal of storyline going into this match between these two. Obviously, it just kind of sucks because of Marty, you know, leaving the company. We never really got like the perfect feud with these two. You know, this would have looked a lot different if Marty had stayed in the company and been a model citizen. And but unfortunately, because he came and went, it led to kind of a weird disjointed feud. But walk us through how we got to this match.
Yeah, so everyone, if you kind of heard the story, we've talked about a little bit too. Of course, we're in May 1993 when this match takes place, but we're going to go back to actually October of 1992. At this point, you had Marty actually re-signing with the WWF at that point. You remember coming through the crowd, attempting to hit Shawn Michaels. It was actually the mirror hitting the Sensational Sherry at the time, who was with Michaels as his valet, when Michaels pulled her in front of that. And so you then had him challenging Michaels to a match. It was been at the 93 Royal Rumble for the Intercontinental Championship. Marty ended up losing that match. And then these guys were supposed to continue their feud, but then you had Marty getting fired. Of course, there's differing stories from what happened, to this day, Marty still denies that he was ever intoxicated at this point. And kind of how this played out makes me think that was probably the truth. But he had said it was because he was lack of sleep, things like that, which I can fully understand. But the kind of prevailing rumor, if you will, or, you know, gossip was that Shawn Michaels had started some of this conversation or started some of those rumors. And so that's why this match kind of came to be was because a little bit of backstage drama and kind of who was to blame and things like that. So you did have This one, Marty coming back. It was actually this show and challenging Michaels for the Intercontinental Championship. Once again, appearing out of the crowd. Sean had been getting interviewed by Vince, actually, and telling him, I guess, you know, just running the normal promo of that he would defend his title against anyone at any time. And so, of course, not expecting Marty Jannetty, but then putting the title on the line with him. And so at the previous, so for Michaels on this one, though, at the previous WrestleMania, which would have been WrestleMania 5, 6, 7, 8. Yep. Of course, Michaels had taken on Tito Santana, beating him in that one. It was actually his first pay-per-view singles match. They had actually both eliminated each other in the Royal Rumble, if you remember how that had played out. And so he had actually failed to win the championship for Randy Savage at UK Rampage, which we've talked about on this one, which we're going back to the UK.
That was fun.
And that was fun. Very fun. Clash of the Castle. Here we go again. You gotta put the belt on Drew, but that's a conversation for a different time. So, but yeah, Michaels, though, not winning the Intercontinental Championship as well, too, from Bret Hart. This was actually the first ladder match of the wrestling challenge, but that ended up going on, winning the title actually from the British Bulldog. It would have been a Saturday night main event, in November. And so, Survivor Series taking
out. We need to go back and watch that match.
I'm actually going to put that one on my list as well as this one as well, too. This Bret Hart WWF Championship match at Survivor Series between these two guys. And so both interesting matches on this one. And so, and this again, actually becoming the main event of that show, because there was again some more behind the scenes stuff with Ultimate Warrior unable to compete, being replaced by Mr. Perfect. It was the tag match at Randy Savage, Ric Flair, and Razor Ramon. And so, you know, kind of having all that. So it just, again, I think part of this, when I was kind of doing the research, a combination of a lot of things here, you could talk about this during the match or after if you want. I do kind of lean into the camp that some of this was a punishment for Sean for how he had been acting behind the scenes, the rumors, whatever it was, like, you know, feelings toward Marty, whatever it might have been. You know, I think those guys, you know, eventually kind of bury the hatchet on some of this stuff. But at the same time, I feel like at this point, there probably could have been some behind the scenes things happening that we'll never know the true story about, that Sean may have been pushing for Marty to not get the push that maybe he deserved, or, you know, it was in line for. Maybe Sean, you know, he'd been losing a few times before this. So who knows, maybe they weren't ready to fully pull the trigger on Sean as well too, or they wanted, you know, a little bit more time for him to develop. Who knows? Like, you know, we'll never know that. But even if you kind of remove the behind the scenes stuff and you take it for purely what we saw on camera, really cool to have a, you know, wrestler come back, whether you knew the circumstances or not, you know, in the crowd. You know, you had the Rockers kind of, you know, pairing of kind of how that would play out. And, you know, all of a sudden these guys are going at each other, and who is the perfect kind of, you know, opponent for Michaels to one, not be expecting, and two, to take on, to add some kind of fire to this championship. They kind of match Marty Jannetty, the history. You kind of start looking at that. Like, it's, you know, it is really kind of cool how they put that together and kind of build the story that way. And so, interesting, you know, whatever lane you want to stay in for how we got this match, I think, you know, a few different options, but either way, no matter how you look at it, good stuff though.
Yeah. And a really good surprise, right? I mean, that's, you know, this hour of Raw live, any, not always live. I mean, it was taped sometimes, but, you know, if you didn't know the results, it was live to you, but just a good, fun surprise. Again, go back in this era, you know, nothing like this really existed. You know, you had these syndicated shows, you know, WCW was doing Saturday night, and it was, you know, recorded in front of an audience that didn't even know what they were watching, because it was, you know, they were Disney fans. It was, you know, so this was really at the time pretty innovative, you know, live weekly TV, anything can happen on a national network. And so, yeah, it was fun. You just didn't get stuff like this that often. So, let's get into it. This is the May 17th, 1993 episode of Monday Night Raw. So season one, episode 17, we're at the 37 minute mark. Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
Happened to WWF. Razor Ramon defeated here earlier tonight live.
So
get your hype. On
the line. Yeah, Marty. Yeah, Marty's in the rocker kind of gear, rocker music. Sean, obviously, Heartbreak Kid. Sean's your Intercontinental Champion. Man, this is great. And Vince McMahon on commentary. That's awesome.
Yeah,
Bill
Savage.
Bill Alfonso's your referee.
Yep, it's Savage and Heenan with him as well too, of course. And so, yep.
Man, this is, I mean, these guys just, you can just tell how good they are in the ring. I mean,
right out again, of the gate, quick. Yep.
Remember, you didn't have stuff like this. You didn't, the matches like this really didn't exist.
Well,
I mean, even now, they just, I mean, look at them, just the way they're moving around.
Now. So
look
fast. Yep.
Yeah.
So do you remember, of course, I'll let you kind of speak to most of this match. And so do you remember this one growing up? Is this, what was your kind of affinity toward these guys at this time? Like, I don't remember this one myself growing up, but you know, where were you when this happened?
Yeah. I mean, my whole deal was I was a Rockers fan. So it's like, you know, back in the day, you know, my guys, I mean, you know, really like were Hogan and the Rockers, you know, and love Savage and the Warrior too. But like, I mean, it was Hulk Hogan and the Rockers were my favorite. Like those were the action figures I had. Those were my favorite guys. And so, I mean, this feud to me, like this to me was like the main event of WrestleMania. If these two wrestled at WrestleMania 8, I would have been more excited for it than, you know, Hogan, Sid or Savage Flair. I mean, look at this. I mean, these guys, you just didn't see wrestling like this in 1993 in the WWE.
You had Sean getting dumped outside over the ropes. You had Marty with the slide kick to Sean, who was outside trying to recover. And then he just did jumped over the top rope and splashed Michaels as well, too. And so nonstop right out of the gate.
Yep.
It's out of the gate. Couple minutes.
It was funny. I was reviewing some of the wrestling observers during this period of time. And of course, Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart was going to be the main event of SummerSlam, and Hulk Hogan was going to be staying with the company and wrestling in tag matches all summer. And of course, none of that happened.
Right. Yeah. From our favorite commentator. Yep. Just funny stuff. Is Sean getting a little bit of offense here at this point? Yeah. We're going for the super kick. Marty rolling through. Good stuff.
And again, this was in the era where I don't even know if his finisher was the super kick yet.
It may not have been. Yeah. It'd be interesting to go back, kind of do that research or internet. Let us know, when did Sean start using, I say officially using the super kick as his finisher. And so,
it took longer than it should have though.
Right. Absolutely. So, your thoughts, Han. So obviously Marty had the belt for a little bit here, but then lost it. Do you think, what if he'd held the belt a little bit longer? What are your kind of thoughts on if, you know, that had kind of played out where maybe he did keep it through some of these, you know, some of the next pay-per-views maybe, like, you know, what would have happened? Yeah.
Well, the problem, there were two issues here. Number one is they couldn't count on Marty. Okay. And so if you're going to put a championship on someone, it's like, you got to show up for the house shows. You have to, you know, be able to compete at a high level every night. Like, I mean, they just couldn't depend on him. So, you know, geez, what a bump by Sean. So that kind of, the, you know, we can fantasy book however we want, but he just wasn't a dependable guy, unfortunately, in this era. So, so with that being said, you know, in a perfect world, two things should have happened. Number one is the Rockers shouldn't have been Sean and Marty. You know, it should have been two Sean's. And what I mean by that is, you know, Marty Jannetty should have been a star just like Shawn Michaels. And that's what we needed, because, you know, if you're going to break up a tag team, yeah, creating one megastar is great, but what if we had created a second megastar? And, you know, part of the difference was at the time, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty break up, you know, Marty disappears. Shawn Michaels has a new nickname and a new manager and new ring gear, and his hair even looks different. Right. And so he was presented like a big deal. And then, you know, pretty soon he's the Intercontinental Champion. So that, you know, so Marty, he's coming out to the Rockers music. He's in the Rockers gear, you know? So to me, it's like saying like, hey, this guy, you know, can't create his own identity because, you know, he's still wrapped up in, you know, the tag team that he, you know, got broken up from. So, you know, could Marty Jannetty have been the Heartbreak Kid? Yeah. Why not? why not have him have his own gimmick with his own ring gear and gone off and been a star? So that's what I would have loved to have had happen.
Interesting
and not
take
be presented this way.
So I dig that. Yeah. And I wonder, like, you know, even like say, okay, Marty had kept it and then he went on to take on like Brett or the Bulldog. What if that SummerSlam or something like that? Cause then again, we do get these guys again at Royal Rumble a little bit after this, you know, a little spoiler here on the aftermath of like, there is an Intercontinental Championship match again with these guys. And so,
oh, yeah.
Like to think like, man, if he had given him even like at that point, it would have been an 8-month run with the belt. Like that would have been crazy to think about. And so
even if you know his gimmick was the Rock or Marty Jannetty or something, or you know, something with like a Rock type thing in it, you know, just some kind of a nickname and just some different tights that weren't the Rockers, you know, I think it would have made a huge difference. They never put that time into establishing him as a character. Again, they'll probably tell you that it was because he kept coming and going.
I know he'll occasionally text you, which I still find fantastic. And so that might actually be a good question just to ask him, hey, was there ever any conversation about like taking on a different gimmick or, you know, anything where, you know, to move on from the Rockers, and kind of give you like your own kind of lane of things you wanted to do. Like what were some of the conversations that were, cause you got to figure like there had to be something. I'm sure there was. And so it would be interesting if there was some character that was given to somebody else that was, you know, initially kind of set for him, or maybe he passed on something, who knows? And so, I'd be interested just to kind of hear from him if that's the case. And so, yeah. You got Mr. Perfect at ringside as well, too, at this point, actually stopping Sean from going to the back and leaving the match. So adding just a little bit of an extra angle here as well, too, of kind of what's playing out. So Sean cannot escape at this point, too. It's Perfect standing kind of right, I say the entryway, kind of right at the small little entry walkway for so that Michaels cannot get away. So, yeah.
Yeah, and at the time, Sean and Perfect were working a lot of house shows together, and most of the matches were a 20-minute draw.
Wow.
Yeah, which I didn't even know they were doing in that era. So they were doing 20-minute draws, and then sometimes they would they'd do the old Dusty finish, which was they'd pretend that Perfect won the title, but then he wouldn't because he'd be DQ'd. So, right. But I mean, I'm sure those were probably some fun matches.
That would have been great. Like we talked about this on the show before, but it'd be great. Like even like a house show, you go to a house show and Perfect and Shawn Michaels wrest a 20-minute time draw. Like that's crazy. But then also to come to this and like big slam there from Marty and Shawn, come to this and you get one, like earlier in the evening, you get, you know, the Kid at that point beating Razor Ramon in a shocking match. And then you get this burner of a match, like Marty and Shawn kind of going at each other. Oh, great little fake there from Marty. Oh, big press there. Is that it? One, two. Move the Kid to the
Razor Ramon right there. So everyone's on their feet.
And they're cheering for Marty. They popped when, our Michaels kicked out. So they're definitely invested. But yeah, everybody on their feet in the hand center. Holding the tights. Yep. Good stuff.
So Sean just hit the super kick. Yep. So this was not, he just hit the super kick, but it was not his finisher at this time.
Not even pinning him. Yep.
Yeah.
John was Perfect at this point. Yep.
After the match, we're going to go through, I don't want to interrupt this, but after the match, we're going to go through and look at some of Marty's best match of his career. So towel in the face.
The small cradle. Crazy for him. We'll be right back. Believe it. Good stuff.
That's it. So
starting a qualifying match for the King of the Ring tournament. My goodness, this week.
So this is like the end of Raw.
Could you believe Razor Ramon defeated?
Right. The edge of a lightning bolt. Take a chance. I love it. Excitement. Yeah.
What's gonna happen next week?
Who cares? I love it.
Wow, that's perfect. That's, yes, that is fun.
Get your hype for next week. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
That was fun.
You and I both right now, like, you at home can't see us. Like, if you and I both have a smile on our face right now, that was just a fun match. Like, that, it was nonstop. It was just fun. There's no other way to call it.
Yep. Really, really fun match. Really,
just good stuff. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I love that. I mean, they're hyping it. So yeah, really good.
So what we got here, so Marty only had actually one title defense on TV. It was actually 2 weeks after this, a Monday Night Raw against Bam Bam Bigelow.
Okay.
And he actually lost it back to Michaels. It was 3 weeks after winning it. So a week after this Bam Bam match, June 6, 1993. It was actually a non-televised match in New York. And so at the time, that was because of Diesel's interference, who was now siding with Michaels or kind of debuting as the bodyguard. And so there's a little bit more behind the scenes stuff here. Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, coming out at this point. Again, he was the one that kind of helped bring Marty back, according to Marty. It was actually like Perfect was on good terms with Vince and was able to tell him, like, you know, it was, you know, the Royal Rumble stuff and Marty, kind of how he was acting, was not his fault. And that, again, Marty, like I said, he believes that it was punishment for Sean for kind of how he acted. And so Marty actually went on, you know, unfortunately, you know, not great feuds on some of this stuff, but feuding with Doink the Clown. They actually had a long kind of series of matches throughout that June of 1993. You know, it was actually Randy Savage kind of getting involved as well too. Just, you know, kind of weird kind of stuff. He then actually had a tag team with a 1-2-3 Kid, winning their match at Survivor Series. And then they actually won the tag team championship, the 1-2-3 Kid and him, from the Quebecers, actually. It was January 10th, Monday Night Raw. And so they only had it for a week, losing it at MSG, Madison Square Garden. It was a non-televised event. And the 1-2-3 Kid getting pinned on that one. And so, yeah, they had a nice little run at this point with the belts, but, you know, just not sustained after this, which was unfortunate. And so Sean, though, at this point, getting a little bit of a suspension in 1993 as well too. Again, mixed stories on this one. Was it drugs? Was it, you know, not, you know, they on TV, it was, he wasn't defending the title enough. Michaels has always denied it. So, you know, well, again, that's another one. We'll never know the true story of what happened there. But then getting into the replacing Jerry Lawler and dealing with the Knights, as the Knights and stuff like that, taking on, you know, Brett, Bruce, Keith, and Owen Hart, and having that as well too. And then in 1994, getting into the Razor Ramon feud, having the Intercontinental Championship match, of course, and the ladder match at WrestleMania 10. And so, which we all know voted as the match of the year for 1994. So,
imagine, you know, you just go back and you start to, again, for me, just being such a fan of these guys, you start going, what if? And you say, you know, what if Marty had his own gimmick? So you had the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, that brand, that gimmick. And then you had something for Marty Jannetty. And again, they both had these different looks, but, you know, you had the tag team history, but then you had these two distinct characters. What if the ladder match would have been Shawn and Marty? I mean, it would have been better. I mean, if you can believe that, it would have been a better match. I mean, Marty was as good in the ring as Shawn. And if things had gone a little bit differently, he could have been just as big of a star. I am 100% convinced of that. Maybe the promos aren't as good, but when you're that good in the ring, you know, there will be opportunities for you. So it's just, it's wild to think about, you know, but Marty, I mean, even some of these matches that he had, you know, late in his career, like that Kurt Angle match, were just really, really good. The guy was just a good wrestler. One match that I want to find, if we can find it online, in 2007, he wrestled Tyler Black, otherwise known as Seth Rollins. Wow. So that would be a fun one to go back and watch. But, you know, just a lot of great matches, you know, from him, a lot of 4-star matches, 4.25, 4.75. His best match ever was during this era, just a few months later, versus Shawn Michaels In July of 93. That was 4¾ stars. But again, just a lot of really, really good matches between these two. And, you know, I don't know. I just, it would have been fun to see what if could have happened.
Yeah, you just, unfortunately, we'll never know. But yeah, it's good stuff. So, okay. So where are we at in the rankings on this one? Sean, number 3 in 1993. Marty was 13. So obviously, these guys at the top of their games at this point. The Observer Newsletter, kind of the only one having, excuse me, the write-up on this one. Marty Jannetty captured the Intercontinental title on the 5/17 Monday Night Raw show from the Manhattan Center in a first match back since being fired in January. Jannetty showed up unannounced during a Shawn Michaels interview and issued the challenge for the match later held in the show. Jannetty only showed a little ring rust, and Michaels, who in my opinion is by a significant margin the best worker in the United States, was at the top of his game and carried it to around a 4-star quality match. The bout went about 11 minutes, and after several near falls, Mr. Perfect, who was at ringside, threw his towel at Michaels, and Jannetty got the pin with a small package. The impromptu challenge and match and unstructured feel of the show gives it a Memphis flavor, which was one of the reasons for the show's rating success. And so an unofficial 4-star on this one. So even if you want to say 3, you could even say 3.75. Thoughts though?
You want my payoff score?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, kind of poor transition. So yeah, it's unofficial 4-star. Tom, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Just, I mean, I really enjoyed, you know, the surprise and the match and these two. I already told you there's a lot of things I think could have been done better. But again, really fun. I'm completely a homer when it comes to these guys, and I really enjoyed it. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to put it at a 7 for me. I think that, yeah, this one was, it definitely exceeded what I thought it was going to be. It was, you know, nonstop. Like we said, it's just, there was a lot happening. I think good storyline. I think if anything, I'd almost want to rank it higher because like the what if, but not, I'm not going to do that. And so, but just again, all around, it was a good wrestling match. You and I've watched a lot of these where even last week where there's just not good wrestling in any of them. And, you know, maybe it's just for storyline purposes why they're kind of moving forward, but this was a fantastic wrestling match. Like this was really good in kind of the history of, you know, I think almost like showing this to someone of like, hey, whether you care about, you know, the storyline pieces of it, like just a good wrestling match in this era, like this was that, which I was not expecting. And so, yeah, I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we covered that one.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Okay. Let's send them home happy, my friend.
All right. Got to plug our Manscaped shit first.
Oh my God. Yeah. We were so excited about the match. We didn't talk about Manscaped. And so, yes, of course, like it's summer season now at this point, we want everyone to look good, to feel good. So manscaped.com, payoff 20, use that code. Like again, like I actually just used mine the other day, not going to lie. And so I just needed a quick kind of refresh. I felt good about it. And so, I feel good. The lady feels good about it. And so, hey, you know, not going to complain at that point. So whether it's you're looking for to, you know, full set of like, you know, the lawnmower 4.0 and want something for, you know, trimming downstairs, whether you just want the nose hair trimmers, the weed whacker, and, you know, kind of looking for something like that. Maybe you just want, you know, just a straight up shave kit. That's something you can trust. Like they got that as well too. So all kinds of stuff on the store to help you kind of feel your best, look your best. So use promo code payoff20. That's payoff20. At manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah. And I use it on my face whenever I, you know, if I haven't shaved in like 4 or 5 days and it starts to get, so I just try to clean up my face a little bit, before I take a razor to it. Otherwise it just becomes a mess too. So get a lot of mileage out of this thing.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, another fun episode. And, as always, we'll see you next week on a brand new episode of The Payoff.